straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show on a beautiful, kind of rainy, perfect November day here. We're back into it, and I'm excited that the Artist Corner is back on Monday. It's being presented by the good folks at the Sawdust Art Festival, which is presenting Winter Fantasy. That kicks off November 19th. In to talk to us about that, a couple of people. First of all, we're going to meet Alex Fritz, who's been an exhibitor there for 10 years. Fantastic glass work, lamp working. We'll talk to Alex in just a second. But first, the director of marketing, Frankie Deshane, has been the director of marketing there now for her ninth year. She's an artist. She's the sawdust historian. You can stop and ask her anything about sawdust, and she knows the answer. During her watch, Sawdust Art Festival's Spring Fling and Winter Fantasy have become the jewels of the Laguna Festival. So we welcome this morning, first of all, Frankie Deshane. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
How are you?
Good. Thank you. That was quite an intro. Thank you.
You like that, didn't you?
A lot of pressure.
Well, really, you have done a magnificent job. I was just telling both of you off the air here, I absolutely love Winter Fantasy, and it just seems to get better each and every year. And you put so much attention into the Spring Fling and the regular summer. You guys, the entire collective, have done a fantastic job. So thank you on behalf of the community.
Thank you very much.
All right. So tell us about this year. We're kicking off November 19th.
Yes. That's just around the corner, less than 2 weeks away. I was just saying that to Alex. Can't even believe it. It's almost here. So we open Saturday the 19th at 10 a.m. And we're kicking off 5 weekends. Right. And we actually have an additional Friday as well. So we're open 5 weekends and 2 Fridays, Black Friday and the last weekend of the show, which is December 16th. but yeah, we have 165 artists. We actually have 12 entirely new artists to the show.
Wow.
You knew that, Alex?
Very cool.
Yeah, so...
So have you seen these artists work, the 12?
I have,
okay,
yes.
And you're impressed?
I am impressed. I'm impressed by everybody. Right. You know, 165 artists. Right. There's something for everyone. Everything is unique and handmade, one of a kind.
Right.
And you're supporting local art when you shop, so... really special, right, Alex?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm super excited. We can't wait.
Let me tell you about Alex. Alex has been there for 10 years, an exhibitor in the summer and the winter as well. You do lamp working, and explain what lamp working is.
Well, I create my glass items with a torch, basically, and it's run on oxygen and propane.
Right.
So I make hand-blown wine glasses with little jellyfish in the stems.
Right.
I make a variety of different wine bottle tops that people really love, and they're nice stocking stuffers and whatnot.
So I was looking at your work and leading up to this morning's conversation, and I was telling Frankie earlier, I got to clear all the wine glasses out of my cabinet. They're just boring now. Yeah. I've seen your work, and it's like, man, I need glasses like this. Starting to work with glass, when does this happen in someone's life? When did you decide this is the medium I'm going to choose as an artist?
I decided when I moved next door to some glass blowers and randomly went over there, and I was like, whoa, these guys are making some glass stuff with fire. I love it. And then I would just go watch them like day after day, and eventually they sat me down and got me going on a bead, and I've been doing it since.
So they're kind of glass blowing, and I've had Bruce Friend on the show before. That's the blowing, and then you stick it in.
Glass.
Right.
Bruce is a champ.
Okay.
Yeah, really master at what he does.
And how is working with the torch different from that?
So I wish I were smarter to break it down, but basically the glass I use is a little harder glass. It's considered hard glass.
Right.
And so it needs a little more temperature to adjust it and shape it and sculpt it. With batch glass, they pull from a big furnace of molten glass.
Right.
And they can generally do bigger scale items, like big vases and cool wall sculptures. My good buddy Michael Panetta does these amazing wall sculptures of several pieces put together.
Right.
Yeah.
So the you call your method flame working.
Yeah.
Right?
And flame working or lamp working.
Right. Yeah. And do you ever find yourself drifting into the, for instance, traditional glass blowing?
You know, I've dabbled in a little bit before.
Right.
And I'd like to in the future, but I haven't really dove in yet.
Right.
It's kind of... there's so much to learn in the realm that I'm in. I'm just still learning new things every year.
Right. Tell us about growing up. Musician, you're also kind of a little, you got a little music stuff in you. Tell us about your life growing up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I grew up and we just always loved music. I grew up in Poway, actually.
Okay.
And I had a lot of friends, and we'd hang out and jam. One of my friends, Tom DeLong, went on to form Blink-182, which is super fun to watch.
Oh, by the way.
And then my other friend's band, like Wade Yeoman and my buddy Rob Brewer, they formed a band called Unwritten Law that did really well. And, and we just go to the shows, particularly me and my good buddy Mike Kroll and Ryan Kelly, Wheeze. And we'd watch them play, and we'd go home and mimic it. And after a while, we started our own band. And we were called Good Intentions, and we'd play down at the Belly Up, and we're a reggae rock band.
Right.
And we got to open up for Common Sense a few times.
Very cool.
Local boys.
Very cool.
Yeah, and we just loved it. It was a really great time and great experience. Right. And I'm going to be recording a solo album after the winter show, actually, which I'm excited about.
Whoa. All right, so hey, if you ever want to come in here to the live room and just chill and maybe, you know, throw something down, we're happy to have you in the live room.
Oh, I'm super down, Ed. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring a couple of the friends, whatever you need, whatever bandmates you need. Yeah, let's do that. Let's make that happen. All right, I'll get my people in, and you get your people. We'll have my people talk to your people about
maybe
that.
Maybe me and Frankie can sing a duet.
Sure, let's do it. You sing. I'll play.
I think that'll work. So, growing, were your parents artistically inclined?
Yeah. Yeah, my mom was an artist. Beautiful artist. Yeah, wonderful person. Sweetest ever. And she ended up being a first grade teacher and kindergarten teacher.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
Of course she did. That's the most noble profession on earth is teaching kids.
Oh, she's a hero for sure.
Right on.
Yeah. And then my grandma, Ludmila Matushka, was a full-on artist, teacher at the Art Institute of Chicago.
Right.
And I'd spend a lot of time with her, and her room was always really cool and artistically dialed in with candles and oil paintings she'd be working on. And and she'd just teach me things like the first art lesson I remember is she sat me down and had me look at my hand and gave me a pen and paper and said, okay, now don't look at the paper and just draw the contour of your hand.
Right.
And that just kind of ignited the right side of my brain, I think. And just never looked back.
And now let's fast forward. You have a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Tell us about her.
Oh my goodness. Zinnia Ludmila Fritz. She's awesome. We just love her to pieces, and she, of course, is an artist.
Right. That was the next question off the So, have you done the hand thing with her yet? Have you done that hand tracing thing yet?
I have, and she does really well with it. She's prolific.
Okay.
I kind of really at this point haven't been teaching her much.
Right.
I just sit back and let her go.
Right.
She's already on a roll and excited for all the holidays.
Right.
She was just drawing a Christmas tree and a Christmas Mickey Mouse before I came down here today.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, a lot of fun. They learn when you least expect it. They absorb things that you're not even aware that they're absorbing, and there it is all of a sudden. Wow, where'd you learn to draw that? Well, I was just watching you.
Yeah,
so that's pretty
much amazing, for sure. And she'll do freestyle jams on guitar and sing about our cat, Carlos.
Right. So your cat's name is Carlos?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Please tell me that's after Carlos Santana.
Okay.
If you say so, Ed, yeah, okay.
Yeah, all the great Carloses.
All right. Now, I want to ask you specifically about some of the wine glasses or some of the creations that you make. Are you now at the point in your artistry to where it's almost flawless? You have this formula and you're not going to screw up a piece of glass? Or are there times where you go, this is a waste. I can't do this.
Yeah, B.
B. We're answering. Check the box,
yeah,
B.
Yeah, right. Just when you think you got it nailed and everyone's perfect, then it can go south on you.
Right.
But no, I feel confident with my glass blowing, and it's mostly fun these days.
You know? Right.
But every once in a while, yeah, you'll get a piece that, you know, just kind of doesn't work out. And you go, all right, you know, that's part of it. You try not to let it get you down.
Right.
You know, just expect, you know, I don't know, 10% of things to just not work out. You put it to the side and give it to a buddy, and they can't even tell it's a you know, second-rate piece of glass, and they love it. Keep on trucking.
So once you have, let's say, a damaged piece, and it's already been molten, it's already past that phase, can you take it back and re-molten it? This is the dumb guy question. This is the guy who just doesn't know.
That's a good question. Right. Yeah. And for what I do, yes.
Okay.
You know, half the time I can go back and fix something. Like a wine glass, for example. Like if you break the cup on it,
right.
I can reheat it, remove that, and add a new cup on. With batch glass, I don't think that's the case. Right. I think if there's something goes south on it, you just scrap it and move along.
Right.
But even with batch glass, like you, maybe Bruce had told you, like if you have a vase and it breaks, right, you get all these pieces and it's trash as far as a vase is concerned. But to someone who does like mosaics, that's gold.
Right.
They take all those pieces and they repurpose it and right, make a beautiful work of art.
And speaking of beautiful works of art and mosaics, would you ever consider doing stuff like that? And do you currently do stuff like that?
I currently don't, but I would love to. Right. I kind of love all mediums of art.
Right.
And I know, Sal, about a lot of the artists at Sawdust. I mean, you just kind of put them in a room with random colors and, you know, mediums, and they'll make something really cool and fun.
Right. What are you working on now? What kind of stuff can we expect to see at Winter Fantasy?
I'm making jellyfish nightlights, which have been a hit, and I just can't make enough of them, and so I want to be well stocked up.
Describe those for us, please.
Okay, so it's like your standard nightlight where you think you plug it into the wall,
right,
and I create this jellyfish, and it's in the middle of clear glass, so it kind of magnifies it,
right,
and then it has a colored base on the bottom that goes right over the light, so when you shut the door or turn out the lights, it bottom lights the jellyfish, and it kind of brings it to life.
So it's like a Jacques Cousteau. It is exactly like being underwater. We are here for Calypso and the jellyfish glass this morning. That sounds beautiful. So imagination, obviously a big part of being successful in this field is imagination. Where do you get the impressions from that make you think of, jellyfish glass, jellyfish nightlight? Where does that come from?
Well, a lot of it, like the oceanic theme, came right from moving up to Laguna Beach, for sure.
Okay.
Like I make octopus bottle tops and the jellyfish and some random fish ones and starfish and underwater sea life, coral marble bottle tops.
Right.
And it's kind of a combination between techniques I learn,
right,
and applying them to things that I see and enjoy and want to share with people.
Right.
And things that kind of cater to this town, too, because everyone here is very beachy and loves to go surfing and just post up and have a cocktail down at Las Brisas or whatever, you know. And so I just play off of that.
Right. So the kitchen crew at Las Brisas is listening to the show right now. They listen to the program as they set up. It's funny you mentioned that. Maybe you know something we don't.
Oh, wow. I'm getting kickbacks from them. Margaritas for the next 2 months.
Yeah, more ceviche over here, please. They bring it by the bucket. All right. Well, if our listeners wanted to support you, and obviously they'll support you by coming to Winter Fantasy, that opens November 19th, by the way, they can support you that way. Where online can we find your stuff?
AlexFritzGlass.com.
Okay. So you're bringing me first out of the gate. Great artist. I love talking to this guy, Frankie. Thank you so much for bringing Alex in.
He's a pleasure. He's an amazing artist. He has beautiful work. I wanted to mention, you didn't mention your Rasta Pie. That's one of my very favorites.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, now you got to tell us. Yes. So tell us about the Rasta Pie.
Tell us about the Rasta Pie, please.
Oh, thank you, Frankie. Yeah, so I like reggae music.
Right.
And my good buddy Miles, actually, who was one of the DJs here for a while, he lived across the way, had dreadlocks, and he'd wear this beanie of Rasta colors.
Okay.
And one day he came over, he helped me out with my recording gear, and I had several bottle tops lined up, you know, off to the side. And then he was standing there, and I'm looking at his beanie, and I'm looking at the bottle tops, the octopi ones, and I kind of went, wait a minute. I just formed these guys together. And so I made a Rastapus. And he's like a Rasta octopus with a Rasta beanie on. And that's Frankie's favorite.
One of my favorites.
That seems really, really cool. Is it? It's popular among guests.
Is. Half the fun of like having the booth there is people show up, and I'll make these certain things that when they look at, they just start laughing, and then we chit chat, and they share stories, and it's just such a good time.
All right. I know one thing. I'm absolutely fascinated with the squid nightlight, and I've got to get one. So it's count me in for a squid nightlight.
All right, I got you down, Ed.
And I also wanted to mention, you also do memorial glass. Do you still do that, Alex?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Okay, well, I had this one particular customer that would come see me every season, and they were great. And I think at that time they had lost a pet, you know, or something. And they asked me to do memorial glass. And I was like, you know, I just really haven't done that before, you know. So I'll refer you to Muffin or another one of my friends I know that do it. And they said, we'd really like it in your work.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I'll think about it. And then the next year they came back and they were kind of persistent. I said, okay. And I gave it a try and it worked out really well. And they were so grateful that I was like, how can I not do this?
Right.
And so I offered it to everyone. And I'm really glad I did because it's been great. And it means so much to people to have a piece of glass with their loved one's ashes in that they can hold on to or wear.
Right.
You know,
so. I now have two projects for you. Okay. Right, thank cool. you very much for bringing that. I had no idea you did that. That's actually one of, much like your mom was a teacher, that is a noble service within your art. That is an absolutely noble thing to do within the art that you create. I really believe that. Thank you so much, Ed.
And it's grown too. Like, I was making an order of memorial glass for a good friend's husband who had passed.
Right.
And before I got to work, I said, hey, what kind of music, you know, would your husband like to listen to? And she just lit up and shared stories and gave me like a playlist.
Right.
So while I create it, I listen to the music and I'm not like a medium or anything, but I welcome them in the room to help me create these pieces and make them extra special. And
it's
been received really well.
It's been received well here. I'm absolutely digging that. Thank you so much for that. So Frankie, do I have to wait till next week maybe to get some of the activities that we'll be doing?
I have some of that.
Okay.
I know we're still kind of finalizing details on opening weekend, but Winter Fantasy has a number of entertainment options besides the art,
right.
Of course.
Three full stages of performers all the time. I totally dig that.
Three
right.
stages of live music. We have free art classes and three demo booths, pottery wheels, ceramics, painting, crafts. I know Zinnia loves the crafts, doesn't she?
Oh, she absolutely loves it.
Yes,
so
yes.
much for kids
so much to
do that.
Right?
Right.
Yes.
So. Studio One.
Yeah, Studio yeah. One and the Children's Art Spot.
And I got to be honest with you, I almost feel guilty sometimes when if I take, because I love those art classes and I know a lot of adults do as well. And sometimes I'll be like sitting in a chair and a little kid will want the chair. I'm like, get out of here, kid, it's mine. No, I will often offer my chair to the child, of course. but those art classes are really for everybody. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a whole family and can learn to do some art. I love those classes, by the way.
And our person in charge of the classes, Anjo, she's building the program up. It's even bigger and better than you remember it from summertime. So
absolutely.
We have a
Anjo
lot of new
rocks.
Projects coming into the, and they're all free. They're all free for our guests to enjoy. And you can take a, you know, come to Sawdust, experience art, buy art, and then also make art yourself, which is really special.
Yeah, nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing better. And it is the Winter Fantasy for me. It is the absolute perfect spot. And I'm not just saying this because you guys are here. It is the perfect spot to purchase gifts for others. Well, you know, there's nothing better than the gift of art. You know, you give someone a piece of art, it's singularly unique. Every piece of yours is different. There's nothing better than giving someone the gift of art. I strongly suggest all our listeners come out opening day. We'll be out there opening day playing music, by the way. I didn't know that I told you this, Frankie.
Yes, yes. And you also have a tree. You have a community tree.
Yes, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, so we put this tree together and now I'm waiting on some individual ornaments from some of the other hosts here. But I have taken the task myself of making the tree angel. And I'm now making my arms really wide because it's one of the biggest tree angels you'll ever see right now. It is like a big old tree angel. The angel has nothing to do with it, but it's kind of cool for the top of the tree. Tree topper, we'll call it.
So,
really looking forward to that.
Are you familiar with our community trees?
No, tell me about it.
So we have local nonprofits participate in our community tree program. So this year we have 15.
Okay.
And we have newcomers. We actually have Glenwood House this year, which is really exciting.
Excellent.
I'm so excited about them.
Excellent.
Of course, we have Pacific Marine Mammal Center, and we have PUP. We have, a number of, and of course, KXFM.
Right.
So we do our community tree lighting on opening day, November 19th at 5:30 p.m. It starts with the Top of the World Honors Chorus and choir. And after that, we do our tree lighting.
Excellent.
And it's really special. It's a really special way to kick off the season.
Yeah.
Bring the whole community together. Yeah.
And I did forget to mention we have Santa on site every single day of the festival. Photos are complimentary. Bring your own camera. And
Now, will he be doing like a big entrance on tree lighting night?
He will actually be making a big entrance that morning.
Excellent.
We do a ribbon cutting ceremony, and he comes.
He's going to be skydiving, right? Jumping
out
of the
helicopter. That'd be awesome. Possibly.
Excellent. Possibly. Excellent. We'll look forward to it. And we'll look forward to each and every Monday from now until the end of Winter Fantasy, having an artist in for Artist Corner. We'll have you back next week.
Yes.
Alex, I cannot wait to go by your booth. What booth number are you? Do you know yet?
501, just like the jeans.
Just like the jeans. There you go.
All right.
Some glass jeans, maybe. We'll do some glass jeans.
There you go.
Kind of a little, like a pencil holder or something. I don't know. Alex Fritz, thank you very much for being here this morning.
Thanks so much for having us, Ed. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Fun.
Frankie Deshane, Sawdust Art Festival's Winter Fantasy opens up November 19th. I'll see you both the morning of November 19th.
Sounds great.
All right, we'll see you.
Thank you so much.
8:21 the time.